Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of What's in the Box. We're going to talk about what we're playing in Cube and what you should probably be playing in yours. This is Quad Nines, or Drew, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Zakiel, Merfolk Magic.
What's going on, guys? We have a sweet episode for you guys today.
Yeah, we'd gotten together to talk a little bit about the aftermath of GP Vegas, and towards the end of that conversation, we were telling stories, and I got talking about Obliterator, I believe it was, and it just kind of got us an idea for a good episode, and we're going to talk about just some card misconceptions you can fall into, like as far as like, why don't you tell them the main categories that we had for this?
So the three categories today are going to be constructed cards that aren't necessarily as good, or sometimes, confused, like cards like Tarmogoyf, cards like Delver of Secrets, Phyrexian Obliterator, Brainstorm, stuff like that, that they're not necessarily bad cards, but when you see them in a pack, you have to evaluate them on a different way, or in a different way. And then the second category is pet cards. There are many cards that are included in cubes that are probably less than optimal. And finally, competition. There are many cards that can, either be replaced or are completely outclassed in some ways. Or at the same time, there are so many options to include. Which ones do you include? So let's start off with constructed, like we just talked about. What do you think about Tarmogoyf, the biggest, baddest creature in Modern, just caused, a big mess, storm, as you've heard in our last episode, $15,000 on eBay. You're telling me that the $15,000 card on eBay isn't the card I should be taking first?
Well, you just got to take it into consideration that it's not constructed. You don't have 8 to 10 fetch lands in your deck. You're not always going to have that one mana instant or sorcery that you're going to fire off on turn one. And a lot of times, it'll be turn four and you're trying to get something in the yard, so there's more than a 1/2. Yep. So, I played it, one time I played it, and every time I played it, it was a 4/5. It wasn't like magical Christmas land, but I was definitely having to, I had to make the rest of my draft around it. I took more, different effects. Like, there's just very few tribal cards in my cube, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna grab that because I was like, this will work.
Yep.
That's definitely one that it's still a very good card, like you say, but it's you gotta think differently when you go to building and drafting your deck.
Mm-hmm. The second card we have is Delver of Secrets, and similar to what you were saying, you kind of want between 8 to 10 fetch lands in your constructed deck. for Goyf, you probably want a bit more for Delver in your deck and constructed, but oftentimes people are, they pick Delver thinking of the Legacy All-Star, and sometimes even played in Vintage and in Modern. The card is good, but, more often than not in those formats, you're flipping it every single time on turn two. If not, it is definitely going to be flipped by turn three. Having a 1/1 for one is, what is Merfolk of the Pearl Trident is often, not that good.
It doesn't see that the cube includes too much. Did you draft a lot of Innistrad? Were you around for that?
I drafted a bit, not very much, but Delver was not on high on my list there.
Yeah, well, when it was in Standard, you probably had, even with Standard, I think we had we'd preordained in Standard at the time. Yeah. I've been Ponder. It's one of those two. They're banned in Modern now. But anyway, one of those. But like even with one of those, you still had probably 20 instants and sorceries in your deck. So, just bare bones, a third of your deck flips Delver. But in draft, the rule of thumb that I remember LSV always said in his Innistrad videos was you want minimum of 8 instant or sorceries just to have a shot to flip this guy like in a couple turns.
Yep.
If you can get a deck more, like say you get this guy, you get another one that depends on like instants and sorceries, like Young Pyromancer or something like that, you want 12, 13 spells. They can be things that make creatures, like maybe you've got like your token maker that's a spell.
Raise
your alarm, or if you play Hoarding Outburst, whatever, but you want those, you need to take those slots because they're both creatures, but they're going to trigger your Delver. You need to have, like I said, probably bare minimum 8, but more like 12 to do it consistently if you don't have a lot of library manipulation.
Hmm. Next, going off, you can kind of go further What you were saying in the last episode is Phyrexian Obliterator. You know, why is this guy not hot stuff in Cube?
Well, once again, it's about the mana. Granted, you don't have to fetch lands with Goyf to get that, get them in the yard. Here, you just don't have enough black sources to consistently cast it on turn four, unless you're mono black. And as we saw from the last iteration of the Moto Cube, there's not many ways to make mono black good. And, this isn't like you have to get the nut deck to play. Well, you probably want to play, 13 swamps or 13 black sources to be able to play this guy on turn four?
Yeah.
Now, you can live the dream. You can live the dream. Go Plains into Urborg into Dark Ritual. Turn two, get there. So, it's just the percentages of playing it on turn four, even turn five, are just drastically less in Limited. So when you can build your deck around it, build your mana base around it, be constructed, it's great. And it still doesn't seem much playing Modern. But, it's just such a strong card, but the mana restriction is just too much.
Yeah. Going into the next card, Brainstorm. Brainstorm is really interesting because, once again, Brainstorm is automatic, four of include in every format that it's legal in to have at least four copies. Or to have four copies, it's insane.
Can I play five?
Exactly.
Draft, you can play five, right?
Yeah, the backbone of Legacy. I even remember in Conspiracy Draft, I drafted Screaming Seahawks and Brainstorm just so I could shuffle away my Brainstorms. I didn't even care what the what else was going on. I just wanted to keep brainstorming because it was so fun.
Like Brainstorm, shuffle my deck. Yeah. You just feel it's like. It's drawing three cards when you do that. It really is.
Yeah, like, how do you lose? I don't play anything, but how do I lose? It's an interesting card because, once again, you have to have shuffle effects. It's the same exact thing with Sensei's Divining Top. The card is still very good, and Top is probably a little bit better because you do get to dig every turn one card deeper. But, sometimes you really just top lock yourself or brainstorm lock yourself where you yourself have actually put yourself out of the game.
To be fair, if you didn't play Brainstorm, you'd still be probably dead. You just wouldn't know it.
Yeah, exactly.
But just knowing it is so much worse. You're like, if only I had that fetch land. Right
yeah, and then once you get to the point where you've actually lost the game, your opponent doesn't know that, but you start to do the mind games, and that's just not where you want to be. But speaking of Brainstorm, how many shuffle effects do you think you really want to run? Or as a cube designer, including, going back to all of these cards, what do you want to show to your drafters or tell to your drafters beforehand or even after? How do you kind of share that message with them that some of these cards should not be evaluated in different ways?
Well,
the same way.
Of course, if you can get them, if you have them, I suggest running at least the 10 fetches. And then, your Evolving Wilds or Terramorphic Expanse. You want your land, searching and shuffling. Then, of course, there's a few other ways you can, you got your tutors. Even if it's just something like, play this green creature, go get a land out of your deck, shuffle your library. You need to have those in there. And as far as like a deck, I would probably want five ways to shuffle my deck consistently.
Yeah.
Before I consider putting it in, that might even be, that just feels like I would say I might think differently if I actually had the deck in front of me, but I probably want five ways to shuffle my deck to make Brainstorm really worth it.
Yeah. One of the cards that comes to mind when I think of Constructed All-Stars, but sometimes people kind of misevaluate them, is, the big guys, the giant guys, Emrakul, Kozilek, Ulamog. More specifically, Emrakul, probably, because I think you're more than likely never going to cast Emrakul in comparison to where you can actually cast Ulamog and probably Kozilek, or the other way around. Which one's cheaper?
Kozilek is 10.
So you can you're probably going to be able to cast Kozilek, and more often than not, still be able to cast Ulamog as well. Getting to 15 is so much harder than 10, or even in playing Grizzlebrand, getting to those giant creatures sometimes is not what you want to be doing. But once again, including ways to either cheat them into play, or including ways to you know, mitigate the cost somehow, I think is something that is not necessarily overlooked, but not really taken into consideration by the drafters when they're picking these cards. Because, you know, what's cooler? I got a 15-15, or I got an Embercool for, you know, it's awesome. Sweet.
Well, it's like when I saw Modern Masters 2 come out, 15 come out, I was like, how am I supposed to play this Eldrazi? Like, yeah, there's a couple of Eldrazi spawn running around, but where's like your, and there's Eldrazi temple, but like if they'd put, I don't know, the Urzalands in there at Uncommon, or if they had put something like Awakening Zone,
yeah,
that, you know, it's like I've had Imrakul and Ulamog in those Modern Masters drafts and have them just stranded in my hand with like no way of getting to that much mana. Unless they hit like runner, these guys that make me more mana. So like you said, like you really want to be careful building your cube or like building your deck when you're drafting somebody else's cube that you have, like I said, good ways to cheat them in. Now Grizzlebrand's probably easier, of course, because he can go to the graveyard.
Yeah.
Reanimating. There are, of course, a couple of instant spells that like, was it the Corpse Dance or Goryeo's Vengeance, Makeshift Mannequin can, you know, you can pitch the Eldrazi to something and then with the trigger on the stack, bring them back. But, you know, without jumping through those hoops, Grizzlebrand's a lot easier to get out there. But like I said, otherwise, like I've got this 8 drop or this 15 drop. I guess I'm going to hope the game goes long. And I mean, but, you know, if you get those, you know, your show and tells, your sneak attacks.
Yeah.
Or
know, even stuff like Blightsteel, you know, if you get the Tinker kind of stuff.
Yeah,
Tinker. Makes your deck like, much better.
Much better, yes. And they're at the disadvantage of, like, you know, we talked about when we talked about the Dragon Lords, you know, your green creatures, you got an extra two or three ways to get them into play. You got your Natural Order, your Green Sun Zenith, which I know that costs a lot of mana, but still you're kind of getting them into play that way. But yeah, like Eldrazi, you really got to make sure you have your ways to get them in. Otherwise, it's kind of a feel bad. They draft this huge mythic monster and they have no way of playing it. So.
Yep.
I guess next what we should talk about are the pet cards that everybody has them. You know, we don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, there's definitely some cards in my cube that aren't in, like, the average 540-card cube if you're on Cube Tutor because I like Storm, for example. I like Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas, so I have him in there and have Storm cards in there. Now, when you have these cards, or maybe, you know, you've got some red 3-drop that obviously isn't good enough for 4-drop, but, you know, you've got the sweet full, so you want to keep it in, or you have the story from when the time it won you the match that was,
yeah,
you know, all these things. But, like, for my biggest example is Storm, because not a lot of people run it, because it can be both a trap and just a good way to lose a game, is to draw a bunch of Storm cards with no finisher. But one of the keys to keeping your pet cards in is to make sure that they're just good cards on their own. A good example of that is Frantic Search. It's a Storm card. You know, it's got the untap mechanic that Blue had when Magic or Watts didn't know what they were doing designing cards. So, you know, you've got something like that. But, you know, drawing two, untapping your lands, and discarding two cards, yeah, I play that in pretty much any Blue deck, you know, even if I don't have Storm cards. It's still a good card. Dark Ritual is a Storm card, but it's also, you know, sometimes you just go Swamp, Dark Rit, Liliana.
Yeah, that is, play. I think, like, the perfect example. I was thinking about that when you were talking. Like, Dark Ritual is just a complete value card. Like,
yeah, it's just
I
good
play
card.
That at any time I play black. Like, I am not unhappy to take it.
You know, you got something like Yawgmoth's Will, which I've had passed to me so many times, like, late in pack one, and I'm like, they're like, I don't play Storm. I'm like, so, like, I just play this and I get a fetch land out of my graveyard or whatever. I get to play a 1-drop discard spell and I get to play that creature you killed on turn 3 because it's late and I've got all this mana and I've ran out of cards. Like, it gives me 3 cards for 1, you know.
Yeah, I
it's just value, you know. Now you get into your cards like your actual Storm kill cards, you know, Brain Freeze for like less than 3, and what are you doing? I mean, like, you're really not doing anything. Like, you can brain free somebody for 3.
Mess with their top, I guess.
Yeah, and if you have a way to get it back, Brain Freeze is one of those cards that you really need to cast it twice. You need to cast it once for a couple, and then later in the game you could snap cast it, or you can Yawgmoth Will it, you know, something like that. You got stuff like your Empty the Warrens, Empty the Warrens, you know, you got your value empty.
I think Empty the Warrens is actually pretty playable and, you know, just kind of like a mid-range deck. Getting, you know, two or three guys out sometimes, or two or four, I guess would be the correct number, but sometimes four works. Good.
Yeah, if you can get, you know, six, you know, like say you go some kind of cheap artifact into one drop into play one for six goblins, you know, that's, you're doing something there. You can, you know, go wide and get there. I guess what's the tendrils, of course, tendrils. Nothing is worse than casting the don't die tendrils. Like, I'm dead next turn. I guess I'll cast it for four. I'm not dead. I get another draw step, but I'm dead. Okay. So, you know, these are the cards that you want to make sure your storm cards are good on their own. And not just the ones that say storm on them, the ones that, you know, typically go in the storm decks, like your Frantic Search. Well, Treachery is just a great card, but it has that great blue untap mechanic that's in. It's a free spell.
Oh, yeah.
So
Time Spiral, all that stuff. I think the common cards that, you know, don't necessarily meet that standard is something like Mind's Desire.
Mind's Desire, you got to be able to cast it for like 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
If you're casting, if you don't want to just cast it and like, let me flip the top card of my deck after I shuffle. Oh, it's a 2-drop. I just paid a billion mana for that. Or, like the Seething Song, which is not near the value of Dark Ritual.
Yeah, I always think it is. I've used it a couple times in like my mono red deck where I just go Pyretic Ritual into Seething Song, turn two Thunder Maw.
Yeah, like you know, you get the big dragon out on turn two or three, you know, great, but you just wasted three cards and then it's like Doomblade.
It's not good. It seems
I'm not saying dice for removal because that's a different podcast, but I'm just saying, you know, when you play three cards, you like I like my storm cards to win me the game. Yeah. Like be like, I'm going off, you don't have a counter spell, you're dead, you know. I guess that's kind of being hypocritical after I say, you know, Dark Rit and Liliana, but they could just kill it. But you know, it's Seething Song is still not as good as your Dark Red. I see what you're saying. Sometimes you hit the dragon and it's all good and they can't beat the dragon. So
And not to confuse pet cards with maybe cards that an archetype that you like. I was looking through my list as we're talking and Oath of Druids comes to mind. Oath of Druids is a kind of card that I don't think the majority of people run, but it can be considered a pet card, but it is an archetype within itself. Also something maybe like Workshop or something. It's probably a bit different than what we're really saying.
I have your Workshop Academy, stuff like that.
I have Candelabra in my cube. Looking back, I'm not sure why.
Do you have Palancron?
I do not.
Because that's like a flying Candelabra.
I'm still playing Storm, so you can do kind of weird, strange stuff like that. And I also play Academy. But for the most part, sometimes it helps filter mana when you need to get, you know, double red for another green kind of thing, but so bad.
Yeah, I'd say the corner cases, but yeah, it's not optimal. I'll give you that. What's one of your main pet cards besides Candelabra? Do you have like a creature that's probably outclassed?
Tog.
Tog? I love Tog, though. That's my pet card, too.
Because
you got to live the dream. You got to upheaval Tog. Go. And you're like, I'm going to kill you next turn.
It's so good, but I still don't know if it really needs to be there. It's like so fun, but I like blue-black is so good for me. I guess I like Baleful Strix. I like Tezzeret. I still play Shadow Mage. I don't think that's an embarrassing card to run, to be honest.
I don't think it is either. I mean, it says draw card on it. And it has fear, which is just better than Intimidate for that guy.
Yep.
So, otherwise, he'd be blocked by blue creatures. So.
I play Shardless, and I've heard a big argument for people not liking that card.
I was just going to say that. It's like, I draft Psychotog just in case I get the other people. Now, I'm always going to take the Ancestral Visions?
Visions Suspend, yeah.
Yeah, the Suspend one. I always take Shardless Agent, just in case I get that one, because I'm going to go Shardless Agent, draw three cards for free.
Yep.
So, I mean, stuff like that, like, yeah, it's probably not optimal, but maybe we're looking at it the wrong way, but...
I actually have a great story for Shardless. I drafted 3 days ago, Mm-hmm. My friend was playing Shardless. I was like, okay. I drafted him. He's like, he's Shardless. I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. Flips days. I was like, oh, well, sometimes it just happens. Game two, Shardless. Flips Mana Lake. I was like, what are you doing?
Why are you running all these counter spells in your Shardless decks? Like, I will cut cheap counter spells and just play, like, Cryptic Enforce.
Yeah.
You know, I've got, oh, nope, I might flip it to Shardless. We can't do that.
Well, the worst thing is I remember playing a Rug Twin deck.
Mm-hmm.
Splash green for, like, I think Edric, and I played, like, you know, a bunch of little random guys. And I had the Deceiver Exarch in my hand and the mana. I go to Shardless, Splinter Twin off the top, right to the bottom.
If only you knew. Yeah. Why did I do that? That's like we were playing in that draft, and I got to manifest a card, and it was my only out in the deck. Actually, my only out in the deck, and I'm like, well, I have no way to mess this. I'm dead. Great. So, like, you don't know, and you can't play around it, but God, the feel bads.
Yeah.
The other, my two Grixis cards in my cube are Cruel Ultimatum and Nicol Bolas.
Mm-hmm.
And they are wildly uncastable most times. If you ever get to cast one of them, it just feels so good.
I actually do have one more pet card, and that is Tabernacle. I don't have a real copy yet. I will soon. But I'm like some sick guy. I don't know. I love the prison strategy.
Yeah, you're
like
just
raids.
A sicko, man.
Yeah.
Tabernacle in limited bands.
Tabernacle with braids and smokestack and.
Oh, no, smokestack. No, I love me some smokestack. No, because it's like the most non-symmetrical card ever. Like I think it's higher than Tanglewire. Yeah, Tanglewire is very good, but you have to have a certain kind of deck.
Yeah.
And you kind of do have it with Smokestack too, but Smokestack is just like, you get to keep ratcheting it up if you want to. Like, you get to say when. Like, Tanglewire runs out. Like, Smokestack can be like, nope, no more permanents until I have to sack this thing, and then we're going to start over. Like, I want to go that way. That's where we're going. If not, I'll just wait till you sack three things, and I'm up. I was like, okay, we're done.
You know,
but like, it's going to get nasty. So, I think it's a little bit meaner than Tanglewire. Tanglewire is rough card, don't get me wrong. I've locked many people out with a quick Tanglewire with two threats in play, but Smokestack, you just get the, just grind the knife in the side, like, nope, we're not sacking it yet, we're gonna tick it up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So,
you know what's funny is, now that I'm looking at my cube list, I think the majority of pet cards run in multicolor.
They do. And that's gonna be, I've got some thoughts on that when we go into, like, competition type stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, multicolors. I've got a few, definitely.
I was looking. I was like, like, I still play Domri. I think Domri's fine.
Yeah.
But once again, we'll get into competition in a minute. But yeah, cards. You had alluded before talking about Winter Orb for pet cards.
Yeah, Winter Orb. I've died under my own Winter Orb multiple times. But also, just when it's good, it's just so good. And the thing is, some people have never played with it. And that sometimes I think that experience is worth it, you know, just to get people that have never seen that card. They're like, what does this do? Well, it's like, this says the fun stops now. So, you know, it's, and also if I forgot Chaos Orb, you gotta have Winter Orb, you know, all the orbs.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, Winter Orb
spherical.
Is, yeah. Winter Orb is definitely one of those, pet cards that, like, the people that like to play it really like to play it, and the other people pass it, so. You know, it only goes to a certain
I'm sick
player.
For running Tabernacle. You're playing Winter Orb.
But Winter Orb can go in a, it can go in a control deck. It can go in a aggro deck. It doesn't say all creatures must die.
Thing about this, actually, I've looked at a lot of cubes recently and listened to several different podcasts, obviously. Shout out to Third Power and Joy of Cubing. Many people don't run conspiracy cards anymore. The Draft Matters cards.
Or, oh, no, those are some of the most fun we had the last cube draft I had. I love
I think Cogwork Librarian is an automatic include in any cube ever. Ever. Any.
That one and, God, my other favorite one is Loreseeker. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, throwing another pack in here. Let's go.
How was that bad? And people, you know, you could argue, okay, a 3-3 for 4 mana is terrible, or a 2-2 for 2 mana is terrible. Who cares?
Like, and even one even of if, them, Deal Broker is probably like the worst one that I run because, you know, you can't always get the deal, but it's still a 2-3 looter for 3.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally playable, colorless. You know, it seems fun. And the fun times you have during the draft portion for, like you said, like Librarian. Librarian went around, it got opened up and opened the guy to my, 2 seats to my right opened up in pack one. He didn't take it. And of course, you know, I snapped it up pretty fast. And like it went around, I think, 5 times before that draft was over.
Yeah. No, that card is so, I think Loreseeker and Cogwork are both slam includes in any cube. The only reason I say Cogwork is because it's considered a common. You're really into that stuff. But Loreseeker only adds upside. Like, you're telling me you can't replace the one card in your deck that Loreseeker is taking with a card from that new pack?
But the thing is, like, the difference is Cogwork, you can pass it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know it's probably going to come back to you. Loreseeker, if you pass it and the next guy takes it, you get last pick out of that pack.
Yeah.
So it gets progressively worse if you pass it. Like, if you pass it, you're getting way the worst of it. Loreseeker is almost a number, it's pretty much the first pick. Like, it almost is. Like, there's going to be something really good in the pack, because otherwise...
I think the later the draft goes, the higher the pick it is.
Definitely. You might not pack one, pick one, but pack three, if it's in your opening pack, you're like, yep.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's get that extra value in there.
So. I was really surprised to see that. And that's the only reason I included under pet cards is because a lot of the cube purists or a lot of the people who play cubes, they're not quote unquote legal cards except for you're talking Legacy or something. But I don't know why you would ever play these. I think they're so fun. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can understand it.
We can play Agent of Acquisitions because Storm Drafter. I hate it when I open up the pack and it's got like 4 Storm cards in it. I'm like, not getting, but maybe 2 of these.
Agent reminds me of when you don't like the day you didn't shuffle the cube very well and a whole model red deck is in one pack.
You're like, oh, I'll just take these here. We'll put this down now. It's like, huh? Chain Lightning, Lightning Bolt, Goblin Guide. That'll do. Like, I'm done.
I currently am running 3 Agent, Lore, and Cogwork. I like the Looter. I need to get the Looter. I don't have one.
Deal Broker. Now, another one that's really good to get for more of your pet cards is Aether Searcher. Mm-hmm. It's a Crawlworm. It's a 6/4 for 7. It's an artifact. And, you know, it says that you note the next card that you draft, and whenever you cast Aether Searcher, you can search it up out of your hand or library, and you get to play that for free.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick is, if you're going to take it, you wait until that person passes you that pack. Yep. They just put it down. Because if you just slam Aether Searcher, they look in the pack and they're like, no, you may not have a free, Cruel Ultimatum or Emrakul or whatever.
Yeah.
Because then you're just like, you know, you got to make sure they pass it so they don't next level game you on that one. But there can be a lot of fun combos in that one. Yep. Well, something that kind of goes along with pet cards are like competition. Like at some point, this card that's been in your cube for, you know, however long isn't going to be good enough if they keep printing better creatures or spells. And they do. Like I run quite a few, for example, white one drops. And like Elite Vanguard isn't good enough anymore. So It should probably not be in your cube. There's been enough printed in the past few years that are just Vanguard with upside. Yeah. You know, and you've got stuff like Savannah Lions, which I'll probably keep because of the almost like the nostalgia part of it, but it's probably not good enough either.
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, these cards are going to be pushed out. And sometimes they print new cards that, you know, are good cards, but they're just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything that comes to mind when that?
The only thing I want to add to that is not to be confused with making aggro worse by any means. It's just that... Yeah. So you can have as many, you know, 2/1s for 1 as you want, but to the point in which, you know, Elite Vanguard is getting outclassed by Soldier of the Pantheon, for the most part, you know, I think Isamaru is a better card, and the Dragon Hunter is, I think, a direct upgrade from
Hunter, Mardu, Woe Reaper, like it has abilities on him, like, you know, you get to gain life and exile.
And, yeah, so that's just, I just wanted to throw it out there. It is not saying that, you know, aggro or cutting, you know, doing anything like that to aggro is bad or including too many, because you can almost not run too many, but there is a point in which cards are just direct upgrades. But The card, the what comes to mind is, I'm sorry, what was the question again? You have to remind
me. Oh, like something that, something like for example, what's the Sphinx that was in Theros? Like it's a great control
prognostic
finisher.
Sphinx?
Prognostic Sphinx. It's a great control finisher. It's not good enough for Cube. Like I'd, every time I'd rather have Consecrated Sphinx or Aetheling. Like every time. Like I'd never play that card over Aetheling or Consecrated Sphinx.
A bunch of, I know, a good card. Yeah, a couple cards that, like I green four drops. Well, four drops, like you were saying before, in every color except for blue is very difficult. Green four drops, the thing that comes to mind is, Saruk Dragon Collar, the new Saruk.
The new Saruk, yeah.
What's, I forget his name. Saruk. There's just so many good four drops. Like, what do you cut? Like, Master of the Wild Hunt, Oracle, Pelucranos, Thrun, Obstinate Baloth. They all are really good, and they can all go in similar decks, but they all go in a different deck.
You got Vengemind, you know, goes in your graveyard deck. Pelucranos goes in, like, your big mana deck. And, I mean, this guy's a big, huge beater that most times going to have haste, but, like, is that better than any of these other guys? So.
Yeah, it's almost not necessarily like a, like the comparison is usually is it a direct upgrade and that's what you're going to replace. But there are times where it's like, you know, I want to support this strategy a bit more. I want to like you said, you know, this Saruk is a lot better in I think more dedicated creature decks than something like Thrun. But once again, you know, it's not embarrassing to run by any means, but there are just so many options. You know, like you said, white one drops. There are many white one drops you can play. You can still play Savannah Lions. I myself just don't want to cut it just from nostalgia reasons, but it's just, the decisions.
Well, I mean, even something like the Origin School with that dragon, it's a four drop dragon. Like, am I cutting Purphoros for that? Am I cutting Avalanche Riders for that? Am I cutting FTK Hell Rider? I mean, I just cut Kelton Champion a while back.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'd play that over Kelton Champion.
Yeah. I like Goblin Settler too, and that's even a, that's, you can't compare that. It's just a bit different.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that comes to mind is like equipment. Equipment is, like, how good does equipment have to be in Cube now? You've got, the five swords, Jitte, and you've got Batterskull.
Yeah.
And the bar has to be very specific. Like, you gotta have something like Lightning Greaves that gives you, like, haste and, you know, Shroud or whatever. Well, you've got, like, your, my baseline for a pumping equipment is Bone Splitter. Mm-hmm. And it's about as cheap as, you know, it's one and one to equip and it pumps you by two. It's the leanest, meanest card you can get in there. I know you mentioned, we talked about this earlier, Grafted War Gear. I mean, it's a house if it works, but it just, like, the downside is, I've been blown out before, and it's just, like, it's just not worth a spot. I've got so much better equipment out there, even though this card's pretty good, it's just not quite good enough anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were also talking Skull Clamp, you were saying.
Well, yeah, I don't really count that, because you never attack with Skull Clamp, really. If you are, you're probably doing it wrong. It's this artifact that says, I kill a creature and I draw two. That's what I see it as. I see it as like a sack outlet. But yeah, I guess I have seen people put it on.
Those are the weird situations where it's like, I can either take four, or I can let him draw a card, or draw two cards. You know, what's better?
Yeah. That happens occasionally.
I
don't even think about that as equipment. You're right.
I was a bit disappointed in Journey into Nyx when we got the Godsend. We got the art for the giant sword. I was like, yes, he has something good. Complete garbage.
And not to mention it was too white to cast.
In terms of competition, you have to understand, like, from a power level standpoint, and also, you know, like, our cards, like, should I be including, for example, like, I think Loxon Warhammer is really close, but not close enough. Like, the card isn't bad. I'm not sure if it's good, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Can you pause it for just a second? Well, I kind of want to talk more about the green four drops. We touched on it, talking about the new Surak, like, should be good enough, but what would you cut? I mean, it's like that basically every set. Like, I think the last thing I added was Pelucranos. just because, I mean, it's just the numbers, you know, it's just so efficient, and if you get activated, it's just, you know, game ending almost.
Yeah.
But when it comes to that, like, you know, you want your really good cards, but do you still want to keep your, not sideboard cards, but stuff like your, Obstinate Baloth? It's a very strong card, but really strong against mono red.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta be kind of careful when you go to cut and then moving things around. Are there any cards that are just strictly no cuts for you and you don't see them being cut in the future?
Oracle,
yeah.
Oracle and Thrun. Probably Pleukronos. I just like Oracle. Like, it's an incredibly rewarding ramp card. I don't think it's broken by any means. I don't think it's too bad. I think it does what it needs to do very, very well. And Thrun and Obstinate Baloth. Thrun, because you need, like, blue, especially in a powered cube environment, is very, very good. And Thrun is a card that can completely hose blue. So I think there has to be a balance between colors there. For me personally, like you just said, Obstinate Baloth hoses mono red. You know, a lot of the cards, like, while there is so much choice, I think it's also, you know, they support different decks and are often very important in those decks. I also play Wicker Bow Elder. It's okay.
I've played it before. Yeah.
It probably needs to come out. I did add, I still have an Antuco Vigilante because I'm playing a couple morphs. I like the little morph sub theme that I've had from cons, you know, it's kind of carried on over. But, you know, I don't play like Yeva Nature's Herald or Thelidite Hermit or anything, but, you know, I don't think any of those cards are bad.
Yeah, I play the Hermit off and on because of the morph theme. I tried to add a few morphs, and I play the Vigilante because over the it still kills artifacts and enchantments, but the morph, I was trying to get a critical mass of morph creatures that wasn't just obvious what they were every time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm like you. Like, I'm never cutting Oracle, never cutting Thrun. I could see cutting, like, I play Vengevine, but it's, you know, sometimes it's not good.
I cut Chameleon Colossus. I don't think that's necessarily right. Like, the card's fine, but once again, it's just falls in that same thing where it's like, there are so many green 4-drops, like,
It did get a boost, you know, of all the Dragons Matters cards, because after all, it is a dragon.
Oh, because it's shape, changeling, shapeshifter.
Changeling. Yeah. It's all the things. So, you know, reveal it to my, Silumgar Scorn.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Speaking of never being my cube. you see, we've also got, well, you know, white 4-drops are kind of equally as tough to break into. I don't think you run as many white 4-drops as you do green in most cubes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the ones that you have are just so strong. You've got, you know, Hero of Bladehold is probably my favorite one because Army in the Can type creature. The same with Emyria Angel, which, you know, a lot of people don't run it, but it's really a must answer thing that, like, can win the game by itself, really.
I agree.
Then you got Resto, which is in a different type of deck, but, you know, when the blowouts are there, they're really big.
Yeah. Sublime isn't bad.
Sublime, I really like it. You can win basically the turn you play it if you have another flyer and they don't have a blocker, because all of a sudden you're like, oh, this isn't a 4/4, it's a 10/10.
So. Yeah. I've seen a couple cubes that I like a little bit more of the combo elements to run Academy Rector. Interesting.
I've been trying Academy Rector, and that's just the card. It's like you were saying earlier with Skull Clamp. It's like, God, do I take the damage or do I kill it and then possibly not be able to, you know, let him draw a card?
Yeah.
With Academy Rector, it's like, do I kill it and then possibly be dead? Like, I don't know what he has that he can go get. Like, I mean, there's so many awesome enchantments that white can run. Like, what if he goes and gets his Mirari's Wake and all of a sudden he's got a billion power and a billion mana on board, you know?
I've seen Hakori, Dust Drinker in a couple lists.
That's the Winter World on a Dude?
Yeah. Legendary 2/2 for 4. It's not bad. I mean, I've seen it, but I wouldn't personally run it.
I have been trying Jazal Goldmane. Now, that card is pretty strong.
I was going to ask about that because, you know, a lot of the commander, the thing that I slightly dislike about the community is there's no, like, follow-up. And I remember when the commander set came out. That was huge. You know, Jazal seemed awesome. You know, what is your experience with them? I'm actually really curious.
Well, honestly, like, he's awesome when you have a bunch of creatures, obviously, because you pump them all, and it's like, everybody gets plus X, because you've got, you know, you most likely have five mana if you played him the turn before, because he costs four.
Yeah.
Interestingly, if you draw him late game, you've got a bunch of mana, you can activate him, you know, that turn, because it says attacking creatures, it doesn't have anything to do with him attacking. But just the fact he's a 4/4 first strike, I've played him on an empty board, and just like, he was the abyss for my opponent. Like, every turn it's like, attack you, attack you, attack you.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just a pretty strong card. I think they costed him well at four with the double white. And his, you know, he doesn't have any kind of protection. He does have the first strike, which is good, you know, as far as like having to, he's making it tough to block. But, you know, he's not overpowered, but I definitely think he's worth a start.
Mm-hmm. Another four drop is Ranger of Eos. You know, Ranger of Eos is pretty good. I like him.
I actually don't own a copy. I had one back before I was playing Cube. I remember I traded away for a Cube card. I forget what it was now. It was like, I don't even remember. It might have been like a promo Day of Judgment or something like that. But anyway, it's a good card. I think when it is good, it's really good. You know, and you've got that, you know, that zoo-like deck, and you play it, and you're like, oh, you know, go get these cards that, you know, are two power for one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely, the card advantage is pretty good when you get to draft your deck around it. So. Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, for the most part, you know, the combination of cards being upgraded or, you know, competition that-wise, where they're being replaced by a superior version, and also being a part of either a specific deck or an answer to another deck is really what, you know, the optimal cube build is. It's kind of like each spot is very important, and that's something that I kind of try to notice when I'm building a cube, like, or when I'm managing my own. Like, if I cut the Baloth, is red, you know, is that matchup going to be really, really annoying for my drafters? And for the most part, you know, there's nothing wrong with not having them, but it's like, you know, these are the kind of things, all of these cards interact with a different deck in some way. Like you're saying, Academy Rector, Myria Angel, Ranger of Eos only goes into a specific deck. Restoration Angel goes into a different deck than, I don't know.
Hero?
Yeah, Hero. Like, just stuff like that.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because like you're thinking about, does this make red too good? Like we're talking about the red dragon out of Origins, it's like, well, what do I cut for that? You know, in 4-drop mm-hmm. red, it's like, well, I could cut Avalanche Riders, but then I don't get to blow up as many lands.
Yeah.
And I gotta blow up lands whenever I can, so I'm definitely not cut Avalanche Riders for that guy, but, you know, it's, I don't know, like, there's certain slots that have a lot of competition, and some that don't. Like, we were talking earlier about, before the cast, about black, 3-drops, and how, like, it was so weak that, like, Ophiomancer just got slotted right in when it came out, and the next year, Flesh Carver gets slotted right in when it comes out. And it's not, they are really good cards, but the competition just wasn't there. Like, they were going to go in.
Because, yeah.
Like, right. Other than that, you're looking at, like, I don't know, Giraffe's Messenger, which is hard to cast, or, you know, your Bone Shredder type creature, which is good, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you figure it would have been outclassed by now, probably.
The Nighthawk is still there, which is an awesome card. But yeah, like, once again, even looking at that small sample size, those three cards all do something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. You don't get the redundancy like you do in, like, say, red 1-drops.
Yeah.
You know, or white 1-drops. But what's your, like, how many red 1-drops are you running right now?
Give me 2 seconds. I think I'm probably, to be honest, I'm probably not running enough. Let me look.
I added Reckless Wave, but I don't remember why. Like, it's okay, but I'm like, why did I add this card? I've got like 10 already.
Running one, so I'm running Fire Drinker Satyr, Goblin Guide, Mox Monkey, Grim Lavamancer, Jackal Pup, Swift Spear, Noble Hierarch, and probably something else. This list, I think, is dated by a couple months. But
you mean Stromkirk Noble?
Stromkirk Noble, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yep. And you're in Zergo? Did you say Zergo?
Zergo is in, but that's the card that wasn't in because of this list is just dated. But yeah, Zergo's in.
I've got Curd Ape in my red 1-drops, even though he's a gruel card, technically, you know, pretty much. I've got Goblin Welder. I've been trying that out because I've added a bunch more artifacts recently.
I should probably play that card because I like the artifact deck a lot. I'm actually going to put that down. That's a
good card. And once again, like, even with mono red, Goblin Welder is not a card that, you know, goes into mono red. It's more of a combo-esque card.
Yeah. I recently cut Spike Shot Elder because he just wasn't getting it done.
I hate that card.
Yeah, I know you're just disdaining for the Elder.
I just don't think it's good. I mean, as we were talking before the show, just on a bunch of stuff, and Spike Shot Elder I've seen it do really good things, but in Cube, I just cannot justify it being good. Like, I can't bring myself to keep this card. I don't think it's good at all. As opposed to, like, what were we saying? The Master Cores? I don't like Master Cores, but they are insane. Like, they're actually good.
And the thing is, Spike Shot Elder, it's the onboard trick that if they don't see it, you can blow them out pretty hard. Like, you've got a first strike guy, oh, kill your guy. Yeah. You know? So, but, like, the Master Cores are the same thing. Like, I guess if you play them the right way, they can be so strong, but it just, I don't like the way they play out. Like, I'm gonna dump this creature, or I gotta sack this creature. It's like, there's ways you can, you know, you can exploit that, but I just never like the cards. I don't know why. The Master Cores
just feel really uneasy.
Like, yeah, I'm sure I'm doing it wrong. But it's just like, I don't want to put the effort into learning how to play this card. And I could just play something else. But yeah, I completely understand how you feel on Spike Shot Elder and the Master Cores. On the other side of that, like, I think I've mentioned it before, but Izzet was one of the weaker guilds in almost everybody's cube for the longest amount of time. I think before Dragon's Maze, I ran Electrolyze, Fire Ice, and my only other card, I think, was Prophetic Bolt, which is, you know, pretty much not played in any cubes anymore. But at the time, it was like the third or fourth best Izzet card around that you could play.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you had Ra'Zarek came out and Turn and Burn, and, you know, Izzet was like, yes, we need these cards. These are fine.
And Izzet Charm from the set before.
Izzet Charm. Yeah, Return of Rekka. So you had three cards come in that were like, had plenty of room for them. Like, yeah, sure, let's start them. Oh, these work fine. And then, like, just the next, I think the next year, you get Karanos comes in, Dax Faden, Dax Duplicant, and you're like, why was I running this Ra'Zarek again? Or,
yeah.
You know, unless you have, like, the really broken, like, Time Vault effects. Like,
don't listen to this podcast if you're playing that in your cube. You're not welcome here.
Oh, come on. No,
I'm just kidding.
It's so broken. It's like, but yeah, unless, like, you're doing stuff like that, like, why do you want this card? Like, I would just rather have, you know, I'd rather have Dax Faden for one less. I'd rather have, you know, Dax. I'd rather play Dax Duplicant than Ra'Zarek, like 99% of the time.
I thoroughly agree. Dax Duplicant is insane. Like, if you haven't played this card, imagine say you're playing red blue, you're playing even just red blue tempo. You don't really have much on board. You have like a, I don't know, a young pyro or even just like a pestermite or a thieving magpie or something stupid. You're just kind of there. You're behind on tempo and you've countered maybe their natural order. And then they go the next turn, Primeval Titan. You know, the feeling of having a Primeval Titan coming into play with haste is you get four lands. Four.
Oh, and by the way, since you're probably behind at this point,
Anakin's dethroned.
Yeah, so then it's a 7/7, and they can't even block you. You're like, yep, nice 6/6 you got there, buddy. And
doesn't target, which is awesome. You can take. It gets around the protection clause. It gets around Emrakul or anything like that, which is not quite the same, I think. But yeah, for some reason, if you know True Name is there, you can get True Name or anything like that. It's awesome. It's just 4/2 True Name is a lot better than a 3/1 True Name.
All day. yeah, I think you win that race most of the time, so that's good. But yeah, like, Izzet was one of the big turnarounds. It went from having nothing to, like, we need to cut some of these because this many more good cards came out.
Yeah.
I love
Keranos. I think Keranos is insane.
I'm really glad it's good, because if it wasn't, I'd still play it, because I love that card. Like, it's one of my pet cards. When the set came out, I was like, this is like, I think I had a top 10 list for for that set at some point, and I think I had Bramaz at number one, and I had Kronos at number two, and people were like, that card, is that a cube card? I'm like, have you read the card?
This card, I didn't read it until, like, a little bit of the hype came out, because a lot of people weren't on it. Like, a lot of the top tens that came out, or a lot of the you know, more popular posts on Reddit and stuff, this card was not on it, or any of the podcasts was not that big of a deal. But
well,
this
had
guy...
Well, at, like, what, three mana?
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody's on that guy, and I'm like, no. I want to play blue-red, and I want to, you know, I like drawing cards and getting value.
The crazy thing about Kronos is it's actually not that hard to make him a creature.
No, especially if you're more more base red.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got, like, your Ash Zealots, and if you play, like, an Abhorrent Reckoner into this guy, you know, he might just be a... You might untap, and he'll be a 6-5 that is getting more cards. Yeah. So, yeah, I like free lightning bolts and free cards.
So. Well, and he does... So I was able to see him played a little bit of Legacy Miracles earlier this year, and I had one of these guys on the board, and, dude, this guy is nuts. This guy is so, like, whew. So, I mean, I can't even... He's just so good.
Yeah.
So good. And what do you think about Dak Faden? Like, do you think Dak Faden is an auto-include and even... Like, I don't... It's... I want to say unpowered. Like, do you think it's an auto-include and unpowered? But I think, at the same time, too many people, you know, pay attention to the gain control of target artifact, because being able to loot every turn is insane.
No, I think I posted a picture of it on Twitter, but I had a... God, what was the base colors? I splashed for Dak Faden. Like, I splashed blue for Dak Faden. And the card draw was absolutely worth it.
Yep.
Like, I just got to play him. Like, oh, draw two, discard two. And, like, they couldn't... Like, they were ahead on board, but I had enough where they didn't have good attacks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm drawing two and discarding two, and they had no way to catch up after that.
Nope.
Like, and then, and I didn't even worry about gaining game control target artifact or getting the emblem. I'm like, I'm just going through my deck, finding my good stuff. Let's go.
Yeah.
And it was, it was that red-white. It was a red-white deck, and I splashed for Dak Faden off of, like, three lands.
Yeah.
So,
I'm also a big proponent of Electrolyze. I think that card is very good. Some people don't play it just because,
Who are these people? Well, I need to talk to them.
Just in terms of cuts, because a lot of people, it's not necessarily that Electrolyze is bad, but I could I don't see it, but I can understand the argument of trying out newer cards and only allowing so many multicolor. If you're not playing it, I think it's a bit insane, but the card's awesome. And it has a sweet full art promo.
Yeah, if you had like a 3 limit on your guilds or something, I might give you a pass, but other than that, you should probably be playing this card. It says draw a card on it, and it gets to kill possibly two things, so it could be a 3-for-1.
Yeah.
You know how many 3-for-1s there are for 3 mana in Magic? Not many.
Yeah.
And most of them are vintage legal only. You know, I mean, granted, sometimes, you know, you go to the dome, you draw a card. Okay.
It's fine. It's not bad.
That's perfectly fine. That's like, that is the basement for this card, is I do 2 to your face on your instep, and I draw a card. I mean, if that's the basement, I'll take like 5 of these in my deck all day long.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's pretty interesting. But yeah, like you said, I guess if you have like I know some people run only like 1 planeswalker or 2 planeswalkers in each color and only have 2 or 3 from each guild, I guess I can say that. But
yeah.
You need strong reasons not to play this card.
Yeah.
Was there any, like, I know Simic has always been really strong.
My Simic section is so gummed up. I can't. So I, once again, Charlotte's Agent is my pet card. I love the card. I'm never cutting it. I don't care if they get if they make a Judge Pro.
Good for it to be a pet card. I don't think you get to count it because, like, I think it's good.
Some people don't like it. I don't agree. I think you're crazy, but this card's awesome. And also Kiora is sweet. I love Kiora. She's really good. Edric is insane. Trigon Predator is insane. I'm talking too fast. I am a little skeptical of Mystic Snake's future.
Mystic
good
Snake?
Card. Yeah.
But it's OP. So OP. You're like, you're playing the green blue deck and they're like, I'm like, ramp. And they're like, oh, I guess I play this fatty. And then they tap out for something. You're like, Snake, counter that. You're dead on the swing, because all of a sudden I got that extra 2 power. And I mean, yeah,
Prophet of Rufix.
I play it. It is when it is good, it is so good.
It's too good.
It's not, yeah. You're dead when you cast it.
Yeah, that's I think the card that's gonna unfortunately hit the hay. I love the card so much, but I don't think it's gonna stay. I need to revise it. I'm pretty sure there's some more stuff I haven't included, but I can't really focus. Like, I like Void Slime more so. There's that full art promo that's really cool, but mm-hmm. I actually like the card.
I've got a Cooling Oracle in my cube.
I was gonna say that's another one too.
It's you know, it's pure value. It's hard to cast. It's just a 1/1. But it's a snake elf druid.
Yeah.
And it gets a pass just because it's three creature types and they're all pretty good. So, no, seriously, like, that's probably a card that I should cut, but it's just value.
Yeah, Crawling Oracle isn't a bad card, though. Like, if it falls in the same thing of, like, just what do you want to do? Simic Sky Swallower, I don't run. Fine card. Mm-hmm. Kiora's Follower, I don't like. Once again, if you play Time Vault, you know the deal.
they didn't hear you. They got off the cast while they were like, yeah. Regenerative Mimic. Do you play that?
I don't play it, but once again, I did try it. I played it last year. I played it for like 6 months, but I got rid of it for Kiora, I think. When Kiora came out. Yeah. It's a good, fine card.
Yeah, it ends games, but it's almost a win more, but it depends on what you put it on. Like, if you've got a Primeval Titan in play, how many of those do you need?
Yeah.
But if you have a Mole Drifter, flying 2/2 is not that scary. But when they come into play every turn and you draw two cards, that's just sweet. But yeah, I can see cutting it. I really like the card, but I play it in the EDH deck, so I get to cast it more than most people, I guess.
Mm.
But yeah, it could be cut. I don't have Void Slime in the cube anymore, but it's really good. But it's probably not good enough if you have a real strict, limit on your guild cards.
Mm-hmm. And then just one more question, actually, Azorius. What do you run? Because I think there's actually a lot of good cards to run.
I run like 8, and it could probably be cut down to 4. But I love them. It's like Geist of St. Craft. I'm never cutting that card.
Never, yeah.
Detention Sphere, probably never cutting that card. Just for the fact that, like, if that's a token strategy, you're
pack
like...
Pack Rat.
Yeah, Pack Rat.
Get out of here, buddy.
Wrath your board. I play Brago, which will probably be the thing that gets cut. But, like, I like the Blink deck, which goes in with another card on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Venzer. I still play the Venzer.
Sojourner.
Yeah.
I like this.
I mean, there are a few feeling greater than getting a Venzer emblem.
Yeah.
Because if your opponent hasn't conceded, they haven't read it yet.
Nope.
And then you also get the added bonus of the got you when you minus him and they realize, like, oh, your guys are unblockable. They start adding up damage. They're like, oh, I'm dead. You're like, yep. Because nobody knows that mode on that card.
So. I need to get a Dragonlord Ojutai.
Yeah, I'll play him.
I don't have one. I will include him in my list for the most part, but yeah, I like Verdict and Rev as well.
Yeah, Rev, and I also play Narset. I've yet to cast her.
I don't know. Yeah, I need.
Well,
to
I'm
try.
Like you. Like you're talking about the follow ups, like from Commander. Like I haven't heard anybody follow up from Narset yet. They're like, yeah, we'll try her out. Haven't heard anything, good or bad. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I count Colonnade as my. I try to play one land per multicolor, and Colonnade is my.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's. Absolutely needs to be in most cubes.
Yeah.
Card is really, it's like for the deck it goes in, it's sometimes it's your best card.
Yeah. Now one unique land apart from the shock and the fetch. So I like that. And once, yeah. And then green white is another mess too. I love Horizon Canopy, but it's just not.
I play Stirring Wild, but I play the full man land set, so I don't really go with the. Plus, the Horizon Canopy hit like some ridiculous amount on a buy list not long ago, and I'm like, how many of those do I have? Yeah, I'm shipping those.
Yeah,
that's not happening. You mentioned a Supreme Verdict, which if we can get off multicolor.
Sure.
White Wraths. How many do you have? A limit you run?
I cut. Hold on, let me look. I'm looking at my list really quick. I cut. So I used to play Wrath. So right now I'm playing Wrath, Terminus, Damnation. So in Wrath total or just White Wrath?
I would say White Wrath because I don't think you'll ever cut Damnation no matter how many Wraths get printed because it's the best black one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll say white ones including Supreme Bird.
So, yeah, Supreme Verdict, Wrath of God, Terminus. I think I'm only playing three. I cut Day of Judgment only because my personal cube group is really lazy and thinks control is way too strong. But that's just the only reason I did it. I do think you probably could play a couple more, but I'm not too big on Wrath, to be honest. I like aggro a lot. And I like trying to get combos into play, but you know, I don't think Wraths have too much to do with that. But I don't know. My playgroup was throwing a fit, so
I run too many. I can tell you that right now. But I have a hard time cutting them because, like, when it came out, I put in Hostilities because it gets rid of, you know, something like random, like that. What if they tap out for Batterskull? You're like, Wrath, kill your Germ Token and your Batterskull. Or kill your, you know, you got your bestow creatures when they were kind of a big thing. Like you got your Boon Satyrs running around, stuff like that. It kills those as well. But it's probably not good enough, but I still have it in there. And the one that I really love is the route with the Elishnorn art.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to keep that in there. That card's just really sweet. And the fact that you can play it at instant speed is just enough flexibility where I'm like, yep, I'm going to keep that one in there.
I think I want to add one more, and I think Route's going to be the one. I had Route in for a really long time, and I think it was probably, honestly, the old art that made me get rid of it. Like, I was like, this card, I mean, it's fine, but I just hate this art. It's really ugly.
I've also got, a Chroma's Vengeance in there, but it's not really a Wrath. Usually it cycles. Yeah. And sometimes it blows up the world, you know, it blows up everything but planeswalkers, and that's kind of a cool effect to have. But I really consider it a cycler, to be honest. Like, I very rarely cast it for six. Cataclysm, I think I've got on this list, but I think I pulled it out. Because I don't really like that card in general.
All that came. Play Marshall Coup?
I did. That was one of the ones I cut. I like the card, but it's another one of those that, like, you just, I don't know, like, it was almost too strong, I guess, sometimes, because, like, when you get them and you get the five tokens and you wrath everybody, you're like, okay. But, I don't know, I've also died with it in my hand before, I guess, like, I have all my wraths, but that was the one that got cut. That was the casualty, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And, how many, do you play Armageddon?
I do. And I will play a Ravages of War as soon as my buddy gets his Judge promo.
Okay. That was my question. I was going to say, some people only don't really like that effect. I can understand the argument for not including Armageddon in a cube. I personally think it's fine. Not that that means much, but I like Ravages of War and Armageddon. Once again, I got an altar. And once I get an altar, it's almost 99% never coming out of the cube. So
understandable. That's pet card to a different level.
Yes.
And it's totally excusable.
Even if they print Armageddon 2.0 where it destroys only your opponent's lands, I still will include that and keep the other one.
Oh, cube story. Cube story.
Okay, yep.
What do we got? I think I told you about this, but I got to discover the wonderful interaction that I knew about. Because I'd seen it commanded.
Boros Charm.
I got to play Boros Charm and Armageddon in a turn. Yeah. And my opponent was got so sad. And the funny thing was, the turn before, he went to cast, like, Wrath of God. Mm-hmm. And he was playing the blue-white control deck. And I was like, okay, either way this goes, it's going to be good for me. I was like, I'm gonna try and play Boros Charm because I kind of knew he had Remand. Mm-hmm. But also knew it would tap him out if he cast it. And I'm like, Boros Charm? So my guys don't die. He's like, Remand that. I'm like, okay. And then he just tapped out and I went, Boros Charm? He looked at me funny. I'm like, Armageddon? And it was just like, sadness got on the stack and it resolved. But yeah, there's just, and that's what I love about Cube. You get those interactions that you normally just don't see that often. Like I said, I've seen it in, a buddy of ours had an Avacyn white deck, and he would play Avacyn, and then the next card every time he'd play was Armageddon. And everybody's just like groan.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun to get to use that seldom used, all my stuff's indestructible, or, you know, mode on Boros Charm, because most of the time it's just, you know, four to your face, or maybe double strike, but when you get to use the indestructible part, it's pretty fun.
I agree. Speaking of competition, I'm looking at white now. What white planeswalkers do you play? Because there are, I feel like an obscene amount of good white planeswalkers.
I just looked at the number. I didn't know myself, and I looked, and it says 6, which seems absurdly high. Like, absurdly high.
Because
I cut Elspeth Tyrell.
Yeah, well, which, like, and that's the thing, okay. Is which Johnny do you not play?
I don't play Johnny Steadfast.
Okay.
And I probably should. Yeah. I've got Call of the Pride, a Johnny Goldmang, which probably would be the next cut, to be honest. And then, of course, good Elspeth Knight Errant. I guess great Elspeth would be different. Gideon Jura, which is the only good Gideon. Nahiri,
Champion of Justice is so bad. That
I removed that card from my memory. It does not exist. I've got a full one. I traded for it, and it's like, I think it's like $8. I'm like, yeah, sure, because I'm trying to get all the full planeswalkers. But I just pretend that card doesn't exist 99% of the time. Nahiri, which I've been actually pretty happy with.
How is Nahiri held up?
Card's pretty good. I run a fair amount of equipment. I got the swords, Jitte, and Battle Skull, da da da. But like, it makes a creature. You're like, okay, and if you happen to have an equipment, you get to attach it, which is just value.
Yeah.
And if it's like a second, what was I trying to say? It's not like Stoneforge, even though that's, you know, technically what she does, being a Lithomancer, but like being able to put an equipment card from your hand or graveyard onto the battlefield for -2.
Yeah.
When it works, it's just like so strong.
Yeah.
But just making the guy the +2 ability, if you ever get to ultimate, it's like, it's pretty much game over because you've been able to plus a planeswalker for 5 turns. Like, you're doing something right. But, I've been really happy with it. Like, the few times I've cast it, it's like, make a guy, you know, if I have equipment, great. If I don't, that's fine too. The floor of it has been very good. And when it's really good, it's outstanding. So,
yeah.
I may have a small sample size, but I've been really happy with it. Nice. The last one is the Elspeth Sun's Champion, which...
That card needs to be in every cube,
I still remember when people said it was garbage and, like, it costs 6, I'm not playing this. And I kind of thought, like, yeah, 6 is a lot. And then I looked at it and I was like, its plus ability is the minus ability from the 5 Elspeth. Huh. Yeah. I wonder if that's any good. And I was like, wait, I can... And then I saw somebody play it and I'm like, wait, you plus it... And you get 3 dudes. How does one kill Elspeth? How does one kill this card? Oh, you don't. Okay. You don't have Hero's Downfall or, you know, Dreadbore or something like that, or like a Vindicate.
Yeah.
So you just die to this card. So it's pretty strong, even though it costs 6 mana.
Yeah. I honestly forgot about Ajani Steadfast. Completely forgot about it until this last month. And I think that card is actually criminally underrated for... I don't like Ajani Goldmane, and I think a lot of the people who are really competitive around Lorwyn Block, am I thinking
that?
Really value him really highly, and I respect that, but I don't like him very much. He's fine.
It's like, in the minus on it, it's okay. Like, you get all your guys get bigger forever because it's a counter, and they have Vigilance, which is pretty good. But it's just like, it's a white 4-drop. It's not a creature, but it's a white 4-drop.
Yeah.
And it's got to be pretty good for it to make my deck. Like, I've cut that card many times after drafting it. Now, the white-green Ajani, just while we're talking about Ajani's, I don't own one. I played it some, like, I played it a little bit in Standard, and it seems okay.
I think it's actually better than what a lot of people thought. Like, I know a lot of people were underwhelmed with the 100 life ultimate, but that's still insane.
Yeah, it's the digging part that's good. You know,
exactly.
You know, impulse. But the Johnny Steadfast is pretty good. Like, so I'm waiting for it to rotate out to pick one up. Really, it would be in my cube if it wasn't standard. Not really, but it's in M15, and it was like not opened hardly at all. So the few people that do play it, it's still a little bit high. It might not even drop that much at rotation, but I'm gonna give it that long to see what it's gonna go to. So.
All right, and then
our last topic for this episode, or our last little segment here, is counterspells. This is actually pretty big because, for example, so I have a powered cube, and I just recently, within the past month, built a popper cube. And I cut Mana Leak because I thought it was a little bit too strong for the environment I was going. It's actually not Pauper. I think it's like Peasant.
Peasant?
Uncommons, yeah. So, you know, power level's a little higher, but I don't like, you know, I didn't want it to be too much. And Mana Leak is fine, but, you know, it's not really what I wanted. So I wanted to have there to be more conditional counterspells, like Negate and Essence Scatter, as opposed to straight up counterspell or something like that. Daze is in the cube, but Mana Drain's definitely not, even though I think it's technically an uncommon, if I'm correct.
I think it is uncommon. I'm not 100% on that, but that sounds correct.
Yeah, no Remand, which Remand is probably still fine. But I don't know, there's so much, there's just so much. Like, you can play all kinds of counter spells. Even Anticipate, I think, is fine for a lot of lower power level cubes.
I think I get the example of Exclude, which is 2 and a blue counter target creature spell, draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
I don't run it, but I can think, it's like, man, should I? You know, I've got a lot of counter spells in the cube, but it's like, that card seems pretty fair.
Yeah.
You know, another one, I think you mentioned, you told me about it earlier. It's the one in Tron, Condescend.
Oh, Condescend.
You know, you get a counter unless they pay X and then Scry 2. Which is a pretty good effect. Scry 2 is, you know, control decks like to scry. I understand that seems to be good. But, you know, I could have Miscalculation, which instead of doing that, I could cycle it if I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Memory Lapse is probably the weakest counterspell that I run.
But that card is actually insane in some situations. Like,
yeah, in the deck it's good in, it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna counter it this turn and keep hitting you, and I'm probably gonna counter it again next turn, and I know what you're drawing. So, you know, its effect seems not as good as, like, say, Mana Leak, but it's actually almost stronger than Remand in some cases, because you're putting it back on top of the deck, getting the draw step, and, you know, it's more of a tempo card, but, like, it's pretty tough. Like, it's probably going to be the one I cut if I cut one, or just Thankful Stroke. Actually, I just noticed I put it. No, I got that in there.
Mm-hmm.
But even that card's good. So it says counter target spell I care about.
Yep.
So, but yeah, counter spells are definitely competitive. You know, they can't all be Force of Will.
No. I think Force of Will may fall under the constructed cards that I think people sometimes overvaluate a lot.
Over the blue cards that you have to have.
Exactly. It's the same exact thing with all the other cards. I mean, mm-hmm. Force of Will is still insane, and if you're playing, you know, if you build your deck correctly, it can be very good. But I've had, you know, more times than not in cube, I've had Force of Will with 3 red cards or 3 green cards, and it's like,
Same goes for Misdirection, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about Pact Negation?
I play Pact. I don't know how I feel about this card, to be honest. Like, it puts a sour taste in my mouth because I really don't like Amulet Bloom. I think that deck is cheese.
That deck is so good, though. It's so for something that's so wonky, it's like it just folds to a Blood Moon, but, like, it's pretty consistent.
It is.
Like, the fact of what it's running and the fact it's still consistent is kind of amazing. But, like, when it has a nut draw, you're just like, okay, I guess I don't get to play Magic this game.
Yeah.
I've actually thought about, like, I usually run some kind of control deck in Modern, and I've actually thought about playing Chromatic Lantern in my sideboard. Like, I play a Tezzeret Gift deck sometimes online,
mm-hmm.
of, like, playing, like, Chromatic Lantern in my sideboard to bring it in. Just so I can pay for any kind of pack I gotta pay for. It's like, oh, green pack, pay that. Red pack, pay that. It's just like, ha.
Yeah.
It's just, but normally when you're dead, they've, like, played something on, like, turn 2. You don't even have any kind of mana to pay for it, much less color mana.
Yeah.
But that's more constructed, I guess. But have you ever had the – I had an opponent one time on the Moto Cube. It was so funny. And I've had this happen in EDH before, never in Cube. Like, they packed my spell, and they had five lands in play. But then after the spell is resolved, I go Tech Edge.
Oh, man.
Tech Edge, blow up your land, pass.
I've done the same thing in EDH where I've Shatterstormed after somebody's pacted.
Yeah.
Like, you only had three lands.
Like, well, you're like, yeah, sorry. Like, because somebody pacted it. Like, we had a big EDH game, talking about that. Somebody packed Negation something. They had, like, six or seven lands. And they're like, I don't play them more. Get them all blown up. A guy plays Stasis. and just cackled. And I'm like, yeah, that's why people don't like you.
Who plays Stasis? And you do that guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was funny. Everybody loved it. And as soon as, and the thing is, like, more than one person had a way to get rid of the Stasis. And man, I did do it. And they're like, nope, we're going to wait till he dies. And then we're going to remove the Stasis. So it was really funny. But sometimes you get those in Cube. But yeah, the Pact of Negation is, I think it's a necessary card to run. But you can definitely get some people on it sometimes.
Yeah. All right, as we were wrapping up, I just realized one more. Bolt Effects. You know, the competition in red to have Bolt Effects, you know, can you have too many? So I am currently playing Lightning Bolt, Incinerate, and Bolt Effects for the most part, I think it's just straight burn spells. Like, I count Magma Jet as a Bolt Effect, even though it's technically two mana. Searing Blaze, Searing Spear, like, I don't play Lightning Strike, even though I think Lightning Strike's fine. I play Char, Chain Lightning, Arc Trail, I play Rift Bolt. You know, do you think, you know, can you really overload that?
I mean, they're all good in certain spots. Like, I play Brimstone Volley. Do you play that one?
I don't think I play Brimstone Volley, no.
It's so good sometimes when, like, they're dead and they don't know it. Like, you're attacking with your creature and they have to block and one of them's going to die and they're like, you're like, five you? Whereas if they don't block, they're going to die anyway. But it's just like that little secret, like, oh, you don't know yet. But, even when it's only for three, it's fine, but sometimes you get the bonus, and it's fine. It's better.
I tried to step up. I tried to change Red's identity a little bit, which is why I cut a little bit of the burn spells. Like, I included Smash the Smithereens, just because, you know, really conditional like burn spell, very good. I also play Fire Blast, which is, that's actually still a bolt for the most part. Four damage, but.
Wow, it's really good, though. You have to run Fire Blast. And,
yeah.
Just because if there's such a good feeling to be tapped out in a red deck, and then all of a sudden you like go to pick up your lands, and your opponent gets really sad, you're like, sack these two mountains, four to your face, and they start doing the math on the swing back, like, yeah, I'm dead. So, you know, and it's oh, Stoke the Flames. You run Stoke the Flames?
I don't run Stoke, but I will. It's not on my list, but I need to add it. I had it and then I took it out, but it needs to go back in.
Stagger Shock.
I don't play Stagger Shock, no.
It's one of the few rebound cards I play. It's usually pretty good. It's also kind of Rift Bolt or semi storm cards. Cause you get to cast it again on your next turn without using your mana, so it goes towards your storm count.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, Pillar of Flame, you said you don't play that one?
I do not play Pillar now. I play Pillar either. Same thing, I mean, we could have the same thing with Mana Elves as well. Do you think there are, you know, is there too many Mana Elves?
Part of me hopes
that in Battle for Zendikar we get one more. I just really want one more.
Oh, well, there's, you know, the reprinting Elvish Visionary in Origins.
I saw that.
So, I'm hoping maybe they'll reprint Finhorn Elves so I can get a foil without that bad from the vault boiling process.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's an old school card. Could happen. But, I mean, you basically got, in green, you've got three cards that are functionally the same. You got Elvish Mystic, Finhorn Elves, and Llanowar Elves.
Yep.
They do exactly the same thing. And then you've got
Hierarch
Birds, which are, you know, your multicolor ones.
And Draga.
Draga, which is like Soul Ring on a dude. Or a girl, actually. It's hard to tell as elves, you know. They hide the that had the cleavage sometimes. That I have pointy ears, so long hair. Let me see. Then you got, I play Abzan's Pilgrim and Elves of Deep Shadow. Do you play those?
I cut Elves and Pilgrim, actually. I cut them because I play, I play Caryatid and Rattleclaw.
Okay.
And Raphelos, obviously. But no, I cut them. Pilgrim probably should still be in there, to be honest.
Yeah, if I was going to keep one, I'd keep Pilgrim. But Elves of Deep Shadow is like, I could take it or leave it, I suppose. Hmm. But yeah, that's, I mean, an Arbor Elf is sometimes doesn't do anything.
So. What do you think about Rattleclaw Mystic?
I think it's a good card, and for the simple fact, it's a green fixer that you don't have green mana to cast.
Yeah.
You can cast it and flip it with any color mana, and then that little special bump you get the turn you play it is pretty cool.
You can also play it in your Grixis deck.
Yep.
It's
very good in that kind of deck, actually.
I like it, but I to be honest, kind of want to cut it. It's good, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, it's another one of those cards that I tried out of the Morph Cycle when Cons came out.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to, like, have that face down and then have, like you said, if you're playing it in something like, I've played an Grixis deck.
Yeah.
Or even, like, an American Control, you know, your, gosh, I'm blank, Jeskai. Like, you play it in a Jeskai deck and, you know, you morph it and they think, okay, that could be an Exalted Angel. It's got to die. And they waste their premium removal on your mana dork. That you put, you know, you're like, free mana, face down, like, kill it. You're like, okay, great. Hero of Late Hold.
Exactly, yeah.
So, the morph game gives it a little bit more credit than some cards. Now, you play Lotus Cobra, of course?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, yeah. It's another one of those cards that it's almost a kill on sight because sometimes they've got the fetch land, or sometimes they've got, like, explore.
Same thing with Raphelos. Like, cast Raphelos, is like, there's no way that's staying.
There's Bolt the Bird, but when you cast Raphelos, like, they would give, like, half their mana rounded up, I mean, half their life rounded up to kill that thing. Because it's so scary to untap for the Raphelos, for the other guy, so.
What about Caryatid?
I like Caryatid, so because of the hexproof, and it is a good, very good blocker. That's the bad thing about your mana dorks, and like your elves and stuff, because you cannot block with those guys. Like, you cannot profitably trade, and so you're taking damage. It's like with Caryatid, you're like, okay, block your guy, next turn I get to untap, and still make mana of any color.
Yeah.
The fact that it makes of any color, if it was just green, I don't know that I'd play it.
No, I wouldn't.
But, I mean, at the same time, I guess I play Wall of Roots, but it's an 0/5, so,
yeah.
Then you get to activate it the turn it comes down. But, yeah, Caryatid I like a lot. I definitely think that's good.
I agree.
I had a thought. What about, we talked about Bolt effects. How many Fireball effects do you play? Because that's, you know, your classic game ender, you know, the Fireball, you get to pour all your mana into it.
I'm playing Banefire and Bonfire. I like Miracles.
Banefire and Bon.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some people are against Miracles because of the fact that, like, you want to run a bunch of them to make it, like... So, like, the problem with Miracles is if you're playing a mono-red deck and every turn, you know, you're checking your hand and it's like, oh, well, he has a Bonfire in his deck. Or, you know, every turn you're checking your draw, it's pretty obvious what you have. But I still think you can do it without, you know... showing that you have a miracle, like draw, have your hand in another hand, or, you know, slowly do it, or...
Yeah, I mean, I think just good practice to draw your card to the turn fairly, you know, slowly every time. Because, I mean, it's just, I don't know, there's ways that could be bad for you if you just, you know, you're more likely to turn over your deck, you know, just different stuff like that. So, I mean, I think drawing it, put it to the side, or just drawing it slowly is probably a good habit to get into anyway.
Yeah.
So I think the only miracles I run are Terminus and Bonfire, and I think that's fine.
I play Entreat as well.
Oh, Entreat, yeah. I can't believe that. It's right next to it, and I completely forgot. But yeah.
but those are the only two. And Bonfire, I think, is a conditional fireball, but when it's good, it's very good.
Yeah, sometimes it's a red plague wind for much less. and it's also, Terminus in your opener feels pretty bad. Whereas Bonfire in your opener, it's not the end of the world. Like, what if they play a couple mana dorks? Like, on turn 3, you're like, do it for one, you know.
It's not bad.
The guys,
yeah,
know,
it's
not
bad. It's not bad at all.
If you can get Bonfire for two, I think that's pretty solid value, to be honest. You're going to kill something.
Yeah, usually you're going to get at least one creature, and you get the two damage is kind of a bonus. I also play Devil's Play, which might get cut. There's a couple of things on the chopping block if I really want to cut down the size, but because the flashback rarely gets used,
mm-hmm.
so it's really not that much better than just straight up Fireball. Mm-hmm. I play Rolling Earthquake mostly because they had one in the From the Vault.
Oh, I have Rolling Earthquake too. Yeah, I have one. I do.
It's good. I like that. I play Banefire as well. So, yeah, pretty much on par with those.
Nice.